Let's start. Let's enter and start with prayer. May God bless our heart. We want to pray. Let's bow our head. Even though we are far one from another, it's a strange thing. But I believe that the Lord is spirit and life, that is hearing us, and the true worshiper, they worship God in truth and in spirit. Jesus, the Savior of our lives, the one who came and redeemed our soul. Tonight we are joyful to be gathered in thy name and to believe still in that divine presence that support us and wants tonight you want to bless our heart. Lord, those who walk and those who are not walking, but you have all things under control, and we are trusting in you tonight for you to bless us. Yes, Lord, we want to be one with you in this hard time and sorrowful time. We want to be attached to you and we want to dwell in you. Speak to our heart, quicken our spirit through your word. To you, praises, honor, thanksgivings, in the glorious and precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You all are Eden, and it's strange for me. Let us read. Last time we stopped, if you remember, in page 9, just one paragraph below was missing. We stopped where is written, they put the word away, and they deny the work of the Holy Spirit. And at the end was saying, this is a blueprint of unbelief from Satan himself. And where are we spiritually? We are in the wilderness of darkness. How far we have wandered from the first church? Pentecost is nowhere in view, and the word cannot be found. Apostolic succession, which today abounds, is not found in the word. It is a man-made device. It supersedes illegally the truth that God, no man, has set his leaders in the church. Peter was not even in Rome, yet they lie and say he was. History proves he was not. There are people who read history but shrug their shoulder and go back to believing a lie. Where can we find the vicar of Christ in the word? No one take his place. Yet it has been done and people accept it. Where can you find that added revelation is accepted by God? Exceptionally, revelation contrary to one already given. Yet they accept it and rest on it. Where do you find a purgatory? Where do you find a mass? Where do you find paying money to get out of hell? It is not in the word, but men put in their own book, and by it took over the people. ruling them by fear. Where do we find that man has the power to forgive us as thou he were God? Grievous all this. Enter now in the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. Revelation 2:15. So as thou also damned thou all the doctrine of Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. You remember, do you remember that I explained in the age of Ephesus, Nicolaitans comes from the two Greek word. Nicolaitans mean to conquer the like, the layman. Now, why is it such a terrible thing? It's terrible because God has never placed his church in the hand of an elected leadership. So, yeah, the brother is correcting that it's not the book of Brother Frank, but it's Brother Leveille. So I believe all of you heard it. I'll finish to read this, then I'll explain this, this paragraph. Now, why is this such terrible things? It's terrible because God has never placed his church in the hands of an elect leadership, which move is political mindedness. He has placed his church in the care of God ordained, spirit-filled, word-living man who lead the people through feeding them the word. He has not separated the people into classes so that the masses are led by a holy priesthood. You're till here, we have already understood it. We realize it already. In the past pages that we read, what Brother Frank has explained about Nicolaitans, and also what we read here in this book. This is a Seven Church Ages, chapter 5, page 189. It is true that the leadership must be holy, but then so must be the whole congregation. Further, there is no place in the world where priest and minister or such mediate between God and the people. Nor is there a place where they are separated in their worship of the Lord. You see, here there is a right thought that is biblical and is truth, because the only witnesses are those who God made as witnesses. For this reason, himself, he said in the book of Acts, in chapter 1, verse 8, and you be my witnesses. A believer has to be a witness of Christ for him to bring the word of God. And here saying they have like function of a mediator between God and people. It's me like they have to be one with the word of God. They have to be identifying the word of God. If we read further, is as we hear many times, like, is that person preach well, but he doesn't live what he's preaching. So like laymen, they're following the law, but the elders, if they are not doing it, it's okay. It's not a problem. If we read in the book of Now we read in Act. There are passages of the scripture that we know already, we knew already, but they are just perfect. in harmony with what we are reading. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. And you see, what is important as we read here, it is true that the leadership must be holy, but then so must be the whole congregation. All the congregation, not just a part of those who are preaching, but also the other people. Also, the word doesn't mention anywhere that priest or minister have a they are function of mediator between God and people. God wants all people to serve Him and to love Him together. Nicolaitans is separating this thing. So now we continue reading. Nicolaitanism destroys those precepts and instead separate the minister from the people and make the leader over lords instead of servant. We knew this and we read it, but we can't say that it did not remain. It did not remain in us, for the behavior that we see today is different than what is written in the Word of God. In Luke 11, those are passages that we know already. In Luke 11, 47, Luke 11, 46. And he said, "Woe unto you also, ye lawyers, for ye laid men with burdens grievous to be borne, and ye yourself touch not the burdens with one of your fingers." You see, they preach good, do what I'm telling you, but I'm not doing what I'm preaching. So in the Catholic Church, we know all these things. So it's like a Catholic teaching. This thing still exists today, but it should not exist. And it doesn't exist in the Church of Jesus Christ. Another passage in John 13. And also here, we all know this passage. When we're doing the feet washing, we always preach about this passage. John 13, 16. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is no greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him." You see? May God seal, may God seal this thing in us, and I believe we already understood it. And to seal, we pray God to seal this in the heart of the bride. And this thing must be there, steadfast, unremovable. Let's continue reading here. "Now this doctrine actually started as did in the first age. It appeared and it was without works." It appears that the problem lay in two words: elders, presbyters, and overseer, bishop. Thou scripture shows that there are several elders in each church. Some began, Ignatius among them, to teach that the idea of a bishop was one of preeminence or authority and control over the elders. So this teaching, we see from where it comes. Now we continue reading. Now the truth of the matter is the word elders signifies who the person is, while the word bishop signifies the office of the same man. So it's the same person. The elder, either the elder or bishop, is the same person. The word bishop is the office of the same person. But he's still the same elder. The elder is a man, and the bishop is the office of the man. The elder is a man. We continue reading. Bishop is the office of the man. Elder always has and always will refer simply to a man's chronological age in the Lord. He is an elder not because he is elected or ordained, but because he is older. He is more seasoned, trained, not a novice, reliable because of experience and long-standing proof of his Christian experience. That's why he's an elder. As we read, we read before, the elder indicate the age that the person is in the Lord. So the time of his experience with God. So what he has done through the word of God. So his faith that he had in his walk, in the Christian walk with God. That's something real, something true. Then we continue reading. But no, the bishop did not stick to the epistle of Paul, but rather they went to Paul's account of the time he called the elders from Ephesus to Miletus in Acts 20. We see here that people, they appropriate for themselves the word that Paul has said. That's how I understand it. They appropriate to themselves the word of Paul and they exchange it. So let us read it. And in Acts 20, as we read before, here he called them elders. It says that Paul sent them to. So in verse 17, the record states elders were called, and then in verse 28, they are called overseer bishop. And this bishop, let us read. And this bishop, no doubt political-minded and anxious for power, insisted that Paul had given the meaning that overseer were more than the local elder with official capacity only in his own church. To them, a bishop was now one with extended authority over many local leaders. Therefore, for them, it was like someone who's going in other churches to rule over the other churches. You could do, we can say, as a pope. So having that authority that was not given to them from the Lord. Such a concept, we continue reading, was neither scriptural nor historical. Yet even a man of the stature of Polycarp learned toward such organization. Also, Polycarp came from the reform of Luther. Yet even a man of stature of Polycarp lean towards such organization. So we see here the people did not take the position for the truth, and they were going in the wide road. And in this wide world, there is this Nicolaitan spirit. And this is important to realize and to understand. we can see something important, and I want to say this into bracket. We can notice all the mistakes which were based, or we can say built also, in this way of seeing of the elders or bishops. They deform, they mix the right thoughts or the right word, as they have done with the thoughts of Brother Branham or the word of Brother Frank also. It's still the same thing. We continue to read. Thus, that which started as a deed in the first age was made a literal doctrine. And so it is today. Bishops still claim power to control men and deal with them as they desire, placing them where they so will in the ministry. This denies the leadership of the Holy Ghost, who said, "Separate me, Paul and Barnabas, for the work whereunto I have called them." That we know is an act, is written Act of the Apostle. For this reason, it's important this thing to be understood and to be recognized fully, plainly in our heart. And we continue reading. This is anti-word and anti-Christ. Matthew 20:25-28. But Jesus called them unto him and said, "Ye know that the princes of the Gentile exercise dominion over them." Think just a little bit. Think about Israel. Think of them when they were in Egypt, when they were slaves. Think about the time of the believers or Christian, time of Luther, or this authority, how the Catholic Church kill, put in death Christian, thinking to have authority over them. We continue reading. "But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister." This word become is hard for a heart who does not yet make a turn. When the earth is not regenerated by the Holy Spirit, to submit himself in the word of God, he has written, "Whosoever will be chief among you," we preach already about it, about this here in Somma Lombardo, "Whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant." As the Lord was saying, who is the greater, the one who serves or the one who's seated at table? In reality, is the one who's serving is lower than the one who is seated at the table. "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." Matthew 23:8-9. "But be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ. And all ye are brethren, and call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven." Amen. Here the Lord put in my heart to read some verses of the scripture, because many have they oppose themselves to this word. So we can say in the Pentecostal church, in the denominational church, they can say, "I'm a father for you." Often we used to hear, "I'm a father for you because I brought you in faith." It could also stay, but we read some passages to see this thing, to see that this thing was wrongly understood, because we cannot contradict. Here is written, do not call no one your father. Let us read Romans 4:11. Let's start from here. Romans chapter 4, verse 11. Here's something that we want to enlighten it, to clarify it, because it's part of doctrine, it's part of the word of God. So we want to clarify it. Romans 4:11. And he received the sign of circumcision. Romans chapter 4 verse 11, and he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of righteousness of the faith which he had yet being uncircumcised. Here I read the context, that he might be the father of all them that believe. Father of all them that believe. Be careful now. Thou they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the step of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. That's why he been called father of faith, but he's not our father. We know all. We want just to clarify it. We want to put things that maybe other people will listen to it and understand it. A father of faith. So is him that's God blessed, and through his blessing we also receive that blessing. 1 Corinthians, here is still Paul who speaks. 1 Corinthians 4:14. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons I warn you. Paul was saying that, for thou ye have 10,000 instructor in Christ, yet have ye not many father. For in Christ Jesus I begotten you through the gospel. So he become father through the gospel, the preaching of the gospel. So we understand what it's about. The word of faith that comes in our heart, then it generates us. That word is our father, not the one who preached that word. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Yet, wherefore I beseech you, be followers of me. Galatians 4:19. We can read from verse 18. But it is good to be zealously affected always in the good things, and not only when I'm present with you, my little children. You see, if we follow the letter, we are going to be we will oppose with the word we read before, do not call no one father. Verse 19 again, my little children, of whom I travel in birth again, until Christ be formed in you. You see, travel the word, they are begotten through the word, through the preaching. Of whom I travel in birth again, until Christ be formed in you, is the word of preaching. And we can say he's our father, he's him who generates us in Christ. We can read also in Philemon chapter 10 is after Titus. Also here there's something special, you can say. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, Philemon 1, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved, verse 10, Philemon verse 10, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. It's true that we have just one father, and it's true, maybe we have someone who brought us to faith. Even Abraham is our father, is the father of faith, but there is just one who is a true father who generated us through the word. And we continue with the seven church ages. In order to clarify this even more, let me explain Nicolaitanism in this way. You recall that in Revelation 13 verse 3, it says, I saw one of his head as it were wounded to death. Let's see, and we see how things are getting more like clear. They become more clear in the word of God. We can read here, Revelation 13. And I stood up on the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horn ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power. On Sunday we spoke about it. And his seat, so give power to this beast, and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his head as it were wounded to death. One of these seven heads, they came out during the seven church ages and at the beginning of Catholicism. It was still the same spirit, the same beast. It's from the same beast, from the same root, from going in the same direction. For this reason, in these heads, and I saw one of, we read again, the ten horns are ten kings. Because of the reform of Luther, one of the heads was wounded, and after that, he was restored, he was healed. That's a death wounded, death wound. Then verse 3 again, and I saw one of his head as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. It's important to know this Nicolaitan spirit. We have it still until today, till the last church age. We have it still today. One of the head, it were wounded to death. We continue reading part of the seven church ages. Now we know that the wounded head was the pagan Roman Empire, that great political world power. This head rose again as the Roman Catholic spiritual empire. You see? Now watch this carefully. What did political pagan Rome do that was the basis of the success of her success? From that time, it seemed like everything was going in the right direction. But then we have seen this answer that was really important. We can call, and what we can say, we ask here: what did political pagan Rome do that was the basis of her success? She divided and conquered. That was the seed of Rome. Divide and conquer. Her iron teeth tore and devoured. If you read it in Daniel 7:19, you read this. The fourth beast. We find it there. With the iron teeth. It tore and devoured and destroyed all. Destroy everything. We continue to read it. To read now. Whom she tore and devoured could not rise again, as when she destroyed Carthage and sold her to sword. Carthage or Hannibal. What we learn at school when we were young people. I don't know if still today they are studying it at school about Carthage, Hannibal. The same iron seed remained in her when she arose in the false church, as a false church, and her policy has remained the same: divide and conquer. Be careful, this thing is still today. Now we read passages of the scripture, and I want to take time speaking about it because it's concerned brothers in the message. May God grant us grace and the strength to understand what the Spirit is saying to the churches, for the brothers who are listening, to correct their way of walking, to put themselves back in the right path. We continue reading. That is Nicolaitanism, and God hates it. So to divide and to conquer. Now it is a well-known historical fact that when this error crept into the church, men began to vie for the office of bishop, with the result that this position was being given to the more educated and materially progressive and politically minded men. What we see today, more educated, with materially progressive and politically minded men. Because knowledge and human knowledge and program begin to take over divine wisdoms, and the Holy Spirit no longer control. This is deep. We seen it already. We were in the right path, but then divide and conquer. Why this divide and conquer? Reflect just a little bit. Reflect well. Just to reign. The goal is to reign, and we know it. To reign also among politics. You have to divide. For you to reign, you have to divide. Today is still like this. In the church, we still find this spirit. I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, in the church, who received the message of end time. Why God doesn't want division in the church? Why God doesn't want division among brethren? Because he hates division. Justly, there is this Nicolaitan spirit which is there and is searching for this thing to reign among brethren. But the bride of Jesus Christ, I'm saying it in the name of Jesus Christ, she escapes. She escaped, and she escaped from this. And she has just one king, for you and me to be led just by the Holy Spirit in the same direction, where there is just one chief, and he's the one who's leading things. So there won't be competition there. Because the Nicolaitan spirit create competition, and this thing is wrong. It's an evil thing. Let us read in Genesis chapter 6, verse 4. A brother is asking a question. So the wounded head, the brother was thinking it was Germany. So when it was divided by the wall. Now Brother Franco's answer. This wound will make church. And now is healed because the ecumenism. If we read in Revelation chapter 13, we see this ecumenism. That came out for them also to enter also Pentecostal church of today. They are part of the ecumenism. They are part of, and they are now part of their mother church, the Catholic Church. Everything went back to the origin. So from that wounded head and healed, where the beast received all the power again. We were seeing Genesis chapter 6. I believe if someone has a question, may God help us to ask them, and we try to answer by God's grace. In chapter 6, so brothers, when there is this kind of govern, there is a hybridation. False teachings, they come out, interpretation, taking of position, all these things, they coming from hybridation. And in Genesis chapter 6, from verse 3, we see, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with men, for that he also is flesh, yet is they shall be 120 years. I'm supposed to read first verse 2, for us then to understand. Let us read from first verse. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the Son of God, they are not angels, they were person, because there were two different seeds, they were separated at that time. So that the sons of God saw the daughter of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his day shall be 120 years. And There were giants in the earth. Hybridization of today, of this through the word that we read, divide and conquer. Then all these hybrid men or minister are hybrid ministers. For this reason, the Lord is still calling through the servants of God. For this reason, the message of the end time came for everything to be restored, to put back at its place in the candlestick, and for it to give the right function of the church, the right function in the church, and to remove all kind of seeds, hybridate, and to put the divine seed, the true word of God. For this reason, the message came. For this reason, it's still preached in the same way also from Krefeld. John, so therefore from this separation of divide and conquer, a reign was started, and it was not the reign of God, and it was the hybridization. John 17:23. So here is about unity. So it's about is one. Is opposite of what we read, divide and conquer. God wants unity. For this reason, also the call of Brother Frank, the appeal of Brother Frank, we are mentioning him, but it's not the fact of adoring a man, but if the bride church is still separated, brothers who are in the same churches, if there is not unity of the spirit, if there is no unity of the spirit, it's like a Nicolaitan spirit is still reigning. And not to see you or not to hear you, I don't like this thing. It's important. It's like we are still. If the church is not delivered fully from the spirit, because this spirit is there, who is seeking to divide, then reign. Let us read also Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3. We know these passages. They are all contrary to what the Nicolaitan spirit wants to do. Verse 1. Ephesians chapter 4. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with a lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. You see, verse 3. To keep the unity of the Spirit, the bond of peace. God is seeking for unity. People of Israel, when they were united, they were winning all the battles. They were fighting like a man, just one man. They were like one man. 12 tribes, but they were like one man. Look a little bit of at the spirit. It's important. The 12 tribes, they have
if we see as a number, they have a great number, but they were fighting as one man. They were under, submitted to just to one cap or one chief, one head.
Also, we can read in Daniel chapter 2, 43. Let us read it. Do you see here? And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with the Mary clay, it was the statue of that Nebuchadnezzar saw in his dream, and Daniel gave the right interpretation, the right revelation. Continue reading. They shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. Do you understand that here we go straight in the prophetical word? Here we can connect it with the revelation of Jesus Christ and the seventh seal. It is impossible to have a connection between the Nicolaitan spirit and the spirit of Christ. They cannot go together. And here we can say the clay and the iron, they were the feet, and they were holding all the statute. But then when it's only the Lord who can govern the earth. We can read also, let us read in Acts chapter 5:13. You can also underline these passages. Acts 5:13. Let's start from 12. And by the end of the apostle were many signs and wonders wrought among people, and they were all in one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest, durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitude both of men and women. Therefore, for you to enter in the body of Christ and to come out of the Nicolaitan spirit, you have to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and form one body to be baptized in one spirit and in one body, and the spirit, the Holy Spirit. We read also 1 Corinthians chapter 1, to divide and conquer is what still today there is this antagonism, this way of to have access to the functions in the church. Instead of putting yourself aside and wait, by every means, people want to conquer. And 1 Corinthians 1:10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no division among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind. And how can we do that? You see? In the same mind is important. May God help us. We say everyone think with his own mind. It's true. There's no doubt there. But here is about the word of God. It's about the spirit of God. It's about the seed of God. The seed of the word of God. Otherwise, if there is another mind that is out of the that is not the one is in the word of God, that means we have another spirit. Joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. You see? Here, this scripture, they bring us back in the act of the apostle. God is inviting us, with force and authority. Gather thee, my people, those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. So there is a unity. These five wise virgins, they have this unity. Also, the foolish virgin, they have their unity. So there are two kind of different kind of unity or unions. So what is making the bond of all these things? The bind is the love that you have for the word of God and toward your brethren. In Colossians, he said, love is the bind of perfection. The bind of perfection is love. Love unites. So there cannot be division to conquer or to reign. Absolutely no. Here there is submission one to another, waiting for the manifestation of God, waiting for God to speak. Even it can be also small things, but we want to see big things. Sometimes in the small things, in simple things, God manifests himself and he shows us that he's with us. He's not far, he's near. This word, divide and conquer, is important and is deep. And God has to grant us grace to discern it, to discern the spirit. And if you discern it, you have to condemn it. We have to condemn it in the name of God, or in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. And then trying to go out from this seed, depart from this seed that is a hybrid. As we read before, they put men to govern. In this word, with hybridation, they are trying to put men and doing things instead of people with the Holy Spirit to speak. May God bless us and help us. Let us continue. I'll continue to read. Human knowledge and program begin to take over divine wisdom place, and Holy Spirit no longer control. Amen. This was indeed a tragic evil, we are reading. For the bishop began to maintain that it no longer required a transfer. Be careful here, because it's getting deep. For the bishop began to maintain that it no longer required a transparent Christian character to minister either the word or the rites in the church, for it was the element and the ceremony that counted. This allow evil men or seducer to rein the flock, to destroy the flock or to rein the flock. After they have with the man-made doctrine of the elevation of bishop at a place not accorded them in the scripture, the next step was the ending out of grade title that built up into a religious hierarchy. This in the end time message, we don't have it. But in the Catholic Church, we have it. They were for soon they were archbishop of a bishop and cardinal of an archbishop, and by the time of Boniface the Third, there was a pope overall, a pontiff. For this reason, so the bishop, as the scripture says, he has to be blameless. It's written in Timothy chapter 3. The bishop has to be blameless. Here we read before, he say it was not even needed, it was no longer required to be a Christian. But to be a true bishop, there must be the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the obedience to the word of God. His elder in his function is necessary. For this reason, a bishop must be blameless. And we all agree, because it does say the Lord. That is how the scripture says. We continue to read. Seven church ages. With the Nicolaitan's doctrine and the amalgamation of Christianity with Babylonism, the net result had to be what Ezekiel saw in chapter 8:10. Ezekiel chapter 8:10. So I went in and saw, and beheld every form of creeping things and abominable beast, and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon the wall. Revelation 18:2. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitant of devil, and the we continue reading here. And the hold of every false spirit, and cage of every unclean and hateful birds. For all the nations have drank of the wine of wrath of her fornication. Now this Nicolaitan doctrine, this rule that was established in the church, did not eat it off too well with a lot of the people, for they could read the odd epistle or essay on the word written by some godly person. So that what did the church do? It has communicated the righteous teacher and burned the scrolls. They said it takes a special education to read and understand the word. Why even Peter said that many things Paul wrote were hard to understand? Just try to imagine if I'm in the Catholic Church. Having taken away the word from the people, it soon came the people listening only to what the priest had to say and doing what he told them. They called that God and his holy word. They took over the mind and lives of the people and made them the servants of the despotic priesthood. Now, if you want proof that the Catholic Church demands the lives and mind of men, just listen to the, as we said, last time about this army that the Pope use. They are intelligent people, educated, and you cannot do anything to them. He's talking about Jesuit. Just listen to the edict of Theodosius 10. Here we have part of this edict of Theodosius. This edict was issued immediately after he was baptized by the First Church of Rome. We start here. We three emperors will that our subjects steadfastly adhere to the religion which was taught by Saint Peter to the Romans, which has been faithfully preserved by tradition, and which is now professed by Pontifice Damasus of Rome and Peter, Bishop of Alexandria, a man of apostolic holiness according to the institution of the apostle and the doctrine of the gospel. Let us believe in one Godhead of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, of equal majesty in the Holy Trinity. We order that the adherents of his faith be called Catholic Christian. We see not Christian of Christ, but Catholic Christian. We brand all the senseless followers of other religion with the infamous name of heretics and forbid them their conventicles, assuming the name of churches. Beside the condemnation of divine justice, they must expect the heavy penalty which our authority. This was the edict of Theodosius, and today is still valid. Guided by the heavenly wisdom, shown think proper to inflict. We continue reading. The 15 penal laws that this emperor issued in as many years deprived the evangelicals of the right to exercise of their religion, excluded them from all civil offices, and threatened them with fines, confiscation, banishment, and even some cases death. We see still this day these things today. We continue to read 7 Church Ages, chapter 5, verse 192. Do you know what? We are headed right that way today. The Roman Catholic Church called herself the Mother Church. She called herself the First Church or Original Church. That is absolutely correct. She was the original First Church from that backslide and went into sin. She was the first that organized. In her was found the deeds and then the doctrine of Nicolaitanism. No one will deny that she is the mother. She is the mother and has produced daughters. Now a daughter comes out of a woman. A woman robed in scarlet is sitting on the 7 hills of Rome. She is a harlot and has born daughters. What we found in Revelation 17, then we read the letter. Those daughters are the Protestant churches that came out of her and then went right back into organization and Nicolaitanism, as we read in the beginning. This mother of the daughter churches is called a whore. That is a woman who was untrue to her marriage vows. She was married to God and then went off fornicating with the devil. And in her fornication, she was brought forth daughters that are just like her. This mother and daughter combination is anti-word. anti-spirit and consequently antichrist. Yes, antichrist. Let us read just Revelation 7:2 to see. Revelation 17. We can read from verse 3. So he carried me away in the spirit in the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast, full of name of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. You see, is what Daniel saw. Is part of the fourth beast. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stone and pearl, having golden cup in her hand, full of abomination and filthiness of her fornication. Understand well this. During the ages, the church ages, everything that was done although all this qualification, how many people are still gathering when the Pope is preaching? They coming from the seed, all these people, all those people. They are not condemned, those people. But still, we are in the day of grace. God is still calling. He is still baptizing. He is still edifying his church, his house. And he's bringing people to realize the plan of God for the humanity or mankind. And also toward those people. And now verse 5. And upon her forehead was name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abomination of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus, the 160 million of martyrs. 168, I believe. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Then, if you read further, you see that she's going to, let us read it. Now verse 7. And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and the beast that carried her, which had the 7 head and 10 horns. The beast that thou sawest was, is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, and go into perdition. And they that dwell on earth shall wonder whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, where they behold the beast that was, is not, and yet is. And here is the mind which had wisdom. The 7 heads are the 7 mountains on which the woman seated. And there are 7 kings. 5 are fallen, and 1 is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. The only thing that we can say, everything is being prepared for him to come. For the last king, already European Parliament in Brussels we see this image they have in the Parliament, so before the Parliament, what kind of imagination did they have to make that beast like a beast with like a woman who's over this beast. How did they have this imagination? Those are inspiration from where they come. All these are just the representation of the Nicolaitans. By Revelation chapter 12, I want to add this. Revelation chapter 12 says this. I wanted to read other verses. Revelation 12, verse 5. And she brought forth a man child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into wilderness, where she had a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. So 3 years and a half. So it's a wonderful word that we want to read. Still here. From verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives until death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in him. Woe to the inhabitants of earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he had but a short time. This man-child overcame. He overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives unto the death. We have to rejoice, really, because the bride of Christ, we realize all these things. He's there. And this is certain, is sure. May God grant us strength to reach the fulfillment of the plan of God, and to resist, to endure till that time, and to reject this Nicolaitan spirit, and to win it, to overcome it, and to be present when he will come back, our Lord. Revelation 13:18. And here's wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. We know these things, but they are going perfectly together. They are going perfectly together in this contest, in what we are speaking now. May the Lord bless us and give us strength to continue. Let us continue to read here. Now, before I get too far along,
non stupisce che le persone siano nella confusione oggi. Se erano nella confusione allora, così vicino al giorno della Pentecoste, oggi sono in uno stato.
If they were so mixed up, so close to Pentecost, now they are in a most desperation condition, being about 2,000 years away from the original truth. O Church of God, there is only one hope. Get back in the Word and stay with it. Amen. So, speaking about regeneration, they were practicing, or they were using regeneration, what we can find in Titus. I want to give a clarification about regeneration. After Azusa Street, they came out, those who were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and others were baptizing in the name of Father, Son, and Spirit, Holy Spirit. They were baptizing for regeneration, and this was wrong. Titus speaks about this, but what Titus was talking about, it was not this kind of regeneration. Titus chapter 3 from verse 4. But after the kindness and love of God our Savior to all men appear, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration. By the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. What does this word mean? It's the regeneration of the Word of God. The Word of God has been regenerated. As is written in Ephesians chapter 5, the washing of the Word of God that purify. This regeneration is different. The regeneration we read in the book here, there was not new birth, no holy baptism. Here Titus is saying the renewing of the spirit. Also in Ephesians. So for us to understand what is the meaning of regeneration, why the Jesus only, they were wrong. They were baptizing for the regeneration. Verse 20-25. Husband, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water, washing of water by the word. Hallelujah. If you understood it, you can just move your head. They began to baptize infant in the second century. They actually practiced regenerational baptism. Everything must be put back at their place. May God bless our heart. It was not for the new birth, but for the new regeneration of the old man. There was not the changement or the conversion, because Titus was speaking about conversion, regeneration, the Word of God, and renewing of the Holy Spirit. That is the difference, and is not small. Is life. Is the communion with the Lord, the communion with the Word, with the brothers, is totally different. May God bless us. This is the what Livelle wrote about the seven church ages. But now we read also Brother Frank, who spoke about the same topic. So here, there are historical point of for us to go back in the Word of God and to put in relation with the Scripture. Is a blessing, is still a blessing. For this reason, when we read the seven churches, all the wrong teaching, they came from there. So from the book of Levit, Parousi, the seven thunders, different false teaching, they came out of that book, because I can say it with sincerity of my heart and freely. I read this book. I read that book, and I read it, but I did not become a Branhamist. I take what was right, what was good to take, and it defied me. I did not have problem. And also when I read about the calendar, when I read about 1977, we did not have problem, because we were an anchor. As then we were translating, and we also, when the revelation of Jesus Christ came out, there was nothing to do with the what Brother Levi wrote, because that was the preaching, a true preaching that Brother Branham preached. As Levi wrote about the 1977, about vision that Brother Branham had for the calendar, but Brother Branham never had such a vision. And we spoke also about it. We read it, what Brother Frank wrote in the circular letter. So it's important to be anchored in the Scriptures, but through the Spirit of God, anchored in the Word of God, anchored in Christ. It's true to realize it. Many who are in the message, and I know them, they've been baptized in the name of Jesus, but for regeneration, and they don't want to be rebaptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the new birth or for the. It's important. They don't want to be rebaptized. It's wrong, my friend, because you have to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin, not for regeneration, for remission of sins. Hallelujah. You see? So it's important everything to return to the origin. The Word of God is the original seed. May God bless us. We do not want to do like last Wednesday. We did not pray in closing. Are you present? May God bless us. We are at the end. Let us pray. And let us thank the Lord for this explanation and for the things that clarified us and they enlightened our heart. We want to thank the Lord, and yes, in his heart to glorify the name of Jesus Christ. We want to pray. Brother Gianfranco surely is not because he's resting. Brother Antonio, Brother Carmelo, Do you want to thank the Lord? We want to thank you, God of heaven and earth, for this meeting. We thank you. It's true that we are at the end time. We want to glorify thy name. We want to sanctify ourselves. And we want to adhere or apply your word and your teaching. We want you to lead us and your life to be manifest in us. Oh, Heavenly Father, grant us grace to lead us continuously with your spirit, to accept continuously your teaching, and for it to become a life in each one of us. You establish your church, Father. You give others, help us to be ready for the day of rapture, when we see the plagues, and we see the time we're living in. We understand that we are in the end time. Grant us your mercy and your grace. Strengthen us in faith and in the word, and helping us, O Lord, to be steadfast, looking continuously at the cross, at Golgotha, looking at you. Grant us grace and bless us. Strengthen us in faith, those who are translating. Strengthen in faith, Brother Forestieri, and may all things be led. You are the only true God. It's true that we are tired, Heavenly Father, but also it's true that your word restore our soul. Grant us your grace and your mercy. Oh, Heavenly Father, keep us in meditation of your word in our days. We're asking that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Amen.